You're perilously close to our self-imposed, but I think still important quorum. I guess because decisions are not being made as Christine pointed out, I would actually run with it today at this time. I think you also need to remember the time of year, the number of other calls going on in people's lives. All of these things take its toll. But rather than miss out on any progress, and you've got an opportunity to do some more progress today, I think you should just run with the group you've got at the moment. Jim will be joining eventually. His delayed message. Someone else may also join, and at least, you know, get a little bit further through. I guess my hesitation at taking it to an email is that I doubt you'll get even the number of people you've got here interacting, but that's just, you know, maybe a miracle will happen. But a doodle poll style thing may in fact work, but rather than not work today, I think I'd press on at this point because, you know, you're not far off. Maybe, you know, someone else will join and then you'd be on the level anyway. So let's go for it.
Yeah. Thanks, Cheryl. So I don't think we got the recording started, right?
Not yet. Just go for it now. Ready to roll now.
It started. Thanks, Jeff.
Okay, cool. Welcome, everyone. It is December 13th, 2018. This is the regularly scheduled call for subgroup A. Normally we would say that we're not hitting attendance due to the overwhelming attendance in Adobe, but so far I'll go over the people that are in the Adobe room and also only on audio that I know of. We have myself, Jeff Newman, and Robin Gross, the two co-leads of subgroup A. We have Cheryl Langdon Orr. We have Michael, and I hope I pronounced it right, Casadevall. And on the phone, we have Christine Durain and Kathy Kleiman, I believe. Yep, on audio only. So is there
Jeff, it's Ann Aikman, Phillies. I'm only on the phone as well, and I'm going to have to cut in and out because I'm at the doctor's office. Sorry.
Sure thing. Thanks, Ann. And then from ICANN staff, we have Steve Chan, Julie Hedlund, Julie Bisland, and Emily Marava. So, great. Okay. We got started a little bit late today because we were waiting for a quorum, and it seems like we have just hit a quorum at this point. But one thing that I do want to get on the record is some discussion prior to us starting the recording about you know, whether we could kind of knew the root cause of why we're having low attendance for these calls and just barely making quorum, and some believe that that may be because of, you know, during this phase we're really just going through the comments and making sure that we understand them and that we're just documenting them in a correct way as to whether they agree or express concerns with the original recommendation. We're going to carry forward with this call. We may send out some emails in the next several days, seeing if there's a better way or how to encourage others to participate. On the schedule today is on the agenda will be to go over, continue in the public comments from 2.2.2.2, or continue from that, from section E1, and then hopefully get on to 2.2.3 and any other business after that. I just want to ask first, is there anybody that's got anything to review with their statement of work? Statement of interest. My head's something else. Statement of interest. Any changes?
Hi, Jeff. This is Kathy on audio. I don't have an update to SOI. I did have a comment to make whenever it's appropriate on some of the things you just said and some of the things we said before the stage starts.
Okay. Let me just finish up.
Sure.
And then I'll get back to you. So, Michael, is this a comment on a statement of interest or a comment?
I have an SOI change. I'm part of the non-commercial stakeholders group reviewing comments on Work Track 5. I'm not sure if it's relevant to this work, but I figure I'd mention it. I'll update the wiki after this call. You just made me remember it.
Okay, thanks, Michael. Yes, that's relevant, and thank you for bringing that up. So just before we get on to some of the substance for the call, let me turn it over to Kathy that's got a comment on the intro and also some color to add from the conversation we had just before we started the recording.
Great. Thanks, Jeff. And it's hard. It's hard in this season. Everyone has, in addition to all their work, all their conflicting obligations. So I know it's hard. I just wanted to make sure, and I think the answer is yes, but that if anything changes regarding the quorum process, that's going out to the list, just so people know that maybe the sub-teams will be going forward, these subgroups will be going forward without quorums. I would also note that it would probably be a good idea on different calls, if they do take place without a quorum, to note that very clearly at the front of the notes that are taking place, so that people know, so that it just becomes a matter of the record. That was it. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Both good comments, good suggestions. So we'll note note our attendance and note, I think, that we have quorum for this call, but also for future calls, if we were to change anything going forward, they would obviously go out to the full list as kind of suggestions and feedback, and then we would, depending on what we got back, we would move forward after that. So thank you, Kathy.
Thanks, Jeff. I'll go back on mute so you stop doing the mute.
Okay, thanks, Kathy. Let's go. If you look, I think they're both the same link. So both Robin and Cheryl have posted the link to the Google Doc for what we're talking about today, or for all of Subgroup A, I should say, and probably easier to read than the Adobe, but of course we're on Adobe as well. So any other questions or comments before we get into jumping into this? Steve is saying on the chat, we don't not to discourage disclosure of attendance numbers, but I think it's worth noting that quorum for working group calls is not an official thing in the operating procedures. Yeah, thanks, Steve. That is right. This is kind of an informal guideline. I'm not even sure. I can't even tell you when it started. Wasn't with this group, but I think it's just one of those informal things that we actually, I think if I remember correctly, I think Aubrey was the first one that I remember bringing it up, and it may have even been I couldn't tell you whether it was this group or another one, but it is kind of a self-imposed, as Cheryl said, limit, but certainly we should document attendance, and if we are going to change anything going forward, whether that's a quorum rule or doing things on email, we will definitely be upfront on the list to make sure that everything is known. Okay. All that said, let's go to 2.2.2.E1, right? Is that correct, or did I miss the 2 in there? 2.2.2.2.E1. There we go. And this is the question dealing with, maybe let me go back to the overall, the subject is the clarity of application process. So all of this fits in that overall topic. But this particular section is really asks the question of whether ICANN as an organization is capable of scaling to handle the application volume, and if not, what would have to happen in order for ICANN to scale. What's key here is we're talking about ICANNization, not necessarily the community. That's what the question's asking about. Doesn't mean that others didn't respond in the comment section about the community, but this question was, in general, asking about that. So we've got comments from Newstar, we've got comments from ICANN, Registrar of Business, Constituency, ALAC, and Registry Group, the so pretty diverse set of, or diverse group of commenters, and essentially, if we go through Newstar and ICANN, Newstar believes that ICANN does have the resources to scale regardless of the number of applications, and basically saying that year gap, that's why their view that there may be a higher volume of applications, I guess, with the message that in the future, if there are not such long gaps, then it may not be the case that rounds will be, or that ICANN would need to necessarily scale as high. ICANN organization agrees with the concept or with the notion that it does have the ability to scale, that they probably could exceed the original guidance in the first, sorry, 2012 round, which was essentially 500. They had done 100 applications within 5 months. They think they can do more than that. And depending on the policy recommendations adopted, they would likely be able to exceed the processing volumes. But some concerns, and the concerns are really about making sure that there's an adequate time period between when the applicant guidebook is finalized and the opening of the application window to make sure that there's enough time for operational planning, readiness, and implementation to ensure a smooth process for applicants. So it's not disagreeing. It's just kind of putting that caution flag up, saying that they need some to make sure that there's enough time. What that time is, they didn't exactly say, but certainly as we go through the implementation with the implementation review team, I'm sure that ICANN or will be providing additional input as to that specific timeline. Just waiting to see if there's any comments on that part. Trying to flip, so if anyone sees that I'm missing anything from the chat, just let me know. I'm trying to switch between my Google Sheet and the Adobe.
Michael,
okay,
hands
next
up.
Next comment.
Michael, hands up.
Oh, sorry. Okay, hands up. Good. So please go ahead.
I have a hand up.
Yeah, I see him. Yes, thank you, Michael.
So looking at the comments, I have, I think it can be broken down to two things, is that the biggest problem, and this is pretty well outlined with the NCSG group as well as the, the business constituency, is that while there's support for creating a team to basically review the applications and allow ICANN to scale, the problem is what represents that team. The NGSC comment specifically calls out to the fact that most standing implementation review teams are pretty small. So I think this can be summarized as a lot of agreement for the idea, but an IR team may not be the correct way to handle it. That's my takeaway from reading all the concerns in a short takeaway. I think the general way that it's been written by ICANN staff makes sense. It also needs to be clear that the IRT cannot bypass Again, this is directly connected to the NGSC comment as well as the business constituency. The IRT does not operate outside the guidelines of the PDP working group. So I hope that that's my takeaway reading from these comments. That's the trends I see.
Yeah, thanks, Michael. I just want to just clarify something, because, and this does get confusing. There's really two types of IRTs that we're talking about or have been talking about in connection with this area. The first type of IRT is the GNSO-mandated IRT, which is one I don't believe the NCSG comments related to. But someone can correct me if I'm wrong. This is the IRT that normally is formed by the GNSO as representative of all of the stakeholder groups and is in the GNSO operating procedures. But I'm not sure, again, if someone could correct me. But I believe the comments from the NCSG were about the addition of a standing IRT after the IRT-mandated one for issues that came up after the launch of the program. So I think, Michael, you're correct to note that the NCSG had comments in there about representativeness of an IRT, but I think it was a connection with the latter one, the standing IRT, as opposed to the first one, which is GNSO, which is a GNSO mandated one. We can ask for a clarification. I see that you put that in the chat.
Jeff, can I join the queue, Kathy?
Sure. Yes, please, Kathy. Yes.
Okay, I think Michael's right. I think it's concern about both. And I'm not sure the nuance of a regular IRT versus a standing IRT as a different group that goes forward is fully understood by the community. So I think it would be easier and more accurate to apply the NCSG comments as Michael did across the board. And IRTs very rarely are representative of all stakeholder groups. They're mostly the people. If they do their job properly, they're just the technical. They're largely technical details. And that's largely the communities that would work closely with technical details. But again, this differentiation of IRT 1 versus IRT 2 may not be fully understood by the community and where one starts and whether they flow into another. So I think Michael's right. If you could please apply the concerns of NCSG across the board, I think you'll have a more accurate representation. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. So we can certainly and we should ask for the clarification. I will note as one of the co-chairs, and Cheryl can weigh in as well, and of course Robin, but as an overall co-chair of this group, I think the first type of IRT, that's really beyond our scope, right? That is a general GNSO issue that applies to every single PDP. And so I think at this point, certainly we'll ask the NCSG to clarify, but if there are overall concerns of IRTs in general as reflected in the operating guidelines or the operating, then what we can do, Cheryl and I, is the GNSO as a whole and even forward on the comments from the NCSG, but with respect to this particular subsequent procedures,
okay, Jeff, follow-up question whenever it's appropriate.
Yep. So let me just finish that for the record, finish the thought on the record, and then I'll follow up. So for the record, my proposal is to take those concerns from the NCSG with respect to NSO-mandated IRT, and I'm sorry that they carry the same name because that's adding to the confusion. But for the GNSO policy development process, IRTs that are in the operating procedures, we will forward the NCSG comment on and say that this is something that the council may want to take up.
I disagree.
Let me finish, and then I promise you'll get into it. And then the second type is a standing RT, which is a new thing that this group has put out in the initial report. Certainly the NCSG comments are certainly to be considered there. So, Kathy, please.
Yeah, I wouldn't take anything to the GNSO Council now, and I think it would be inappropriate to do it. These are comments that were made to the subpro, and what you're hearing is a confusion. And let me add to that confusion. Which IRT were you talking about starting earlier the last time we went to the GNSO Council? I'm sorry about the background noise. I'm walking good. So which IRT were we talking about in Barcelona to start earlier? What you've got is a fundamental confusion about IRTs. And so, A, I think you might want to come up with some different names. B, clarify to the community which IRTs we're talking about when. And then C, let those who commented then clarify, if necessary, which they're applying to. But through the confusion, we're hearing it echoed, and it may be very clear for you just because you helped write this, but it's not clear for us. So I wouldn't take anybody's comments outside yet, but note that there's confusion and concern, and maybe the same words being used in fundamentally different ways, with the community not knowing where A ends and B starts. So I think all of that should actually be reflected at this point in time in these documents to the working group, because I think it's really important that everybody understand exactly the issues that we're talking about now, because I assure you they're very unclear and very important. So, thanks, Jeff.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. All fair points. So, agree with you that because it shares the same name, that it's confusing. So, tonight, I'm to come up with a different name or term for the thing that this working group or the working group had recommended in its initial report, as opposed to the implementation review team that is GNSO mandated in its consensus policy implementation framework document. So I will, I agree with you, Kathy. I'm not disagreeing at all. So maybe Steve's got the clarification. Last thing I would just say before I get to Steve and then back to Michael is that the initial report does define, at least tries to define, a moment in time when the new standing panel, which I'll refer to now as a standing panel as opposed to an implementation team, would be formed. So let me go to Steve and then I'll go to Michael. Please.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve. So actually, just to address that directly then, I guess, one of the things that we've noted the confusion about how the predictability framework as well as the standing panel, I guess, as we might be calling it for now, how those are represented and understood. And I think one of the things we thought about that might be helpful is to try to put a graphic together to try to better highlight where those demarcation lines are. Because I think the point at which they switch from a standard regular GNSO IRT to what is being proposed by the subgroup is fairly distinct. But I think drawing a picture and making it clear for folks is going to be helpful. But actually why I raised my hand is actually from a staff side, we got a little bit lost in this conversation in how it's connected. So the IRT or even the standing IRT, for us, we're happy, of course, to bring comments into different sections if it's applicable. And we count on the subgroup members of the members to help us apply comments where applicable. But for this one, we're a little bit lost in how IRT or standing IRT or standing panel is connected to the ICANN org ability to scale. So. If you can help us understand how they're connected, that'd be great, and we'll be happy.
They need to help me understand that too, because I'm sitting here going, okay, I know it's 2:30 in the morning, Cheryl, but what earthly relevance does this, albeit valuable comments and conversation, have to do with the ability to scale? I have reread the comments in all this time, and I still can't find the relevance. So... Not that it's irrelevant in general, but the relevance to 2.2.2.2.E.1 escapes me. Anyway, maybe I'll live and learn.
Yeah, thanks, thanks, Steve and Cheryl. It does not directly relate to the very item we were talking about, but it is an area of confusion left over from the last call. So let's. There's nothing. I don't think there's anything to fill in over here for this comment, but I think it's a more general action item that we certainly should be taking care of. So I'll give the floor to Michael for a minute or two, and then we'll go to the next comment. So Michael, please.
So the relevance of scalability that I see, and this is what I took away primarily from the NCSG comment, is that certain stakeholder representatives may simply not have the manpower available to contribute to said standing power, and they're concerned that if the number of applications go up, it may simply overwhelm the subgroup constituencies to be able to keep up with them on the standing panel. That's how I read the MGSC comment and the creation of the what we now refer to as the standing panel. I also would recommend that we call it something a little bit more specific than standing panel, like new GTDL review standing panel or something, just to make it very clear what it is. And some of the questions may need to be rephrased or re-asked with the reword, because this is not the first time we've had confusion with the IRT issue. This came up in subpro group B, if I remember correctly.
Okay, thanks, Michael. We'll come up with we'll try to come up with a term that I think a new term plus the graphic, as Steve talked about, will help us understand and maybe get in the right place when we think about the timeline, because this will come up again, and I'm trying to remember whether, I think it is this group, when we talk about things like a communication period and everything else. So we'll take that action item away, and then we'll go to...
Kathy in the queue. I don't want to interrupt. Go ahead, Jeff.
Well, I was just about to go on to the next comment. So, Kathy, just one last comment on this, and then let's go ahead to the next comment.
Okay. Yes, for the infographic that Steve's talking about, it would be really interesting also to see what happens, a little more detail about what happens when the standing committee is created after the IRT, whether in terms of who constitutes it. Whether that's a new period opening up for people to join, whether the old IRT all automatically folds in. I think there's confusion on this as well. And I just wanted to tell everybody, I have to go to a computer science and public policy class that I sit in on, much to my amusement. And so I'm leaving the call, but thank you very much for considering my comments.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy, and have fun at the class.
Thanks.
Okay, let's move on then to the next comment, which came from, make sure I got my place right here, the business constituency. So the BC one expressed concerns as to whether, although the previous comments didn't express Vacant's ability to scale, the BC does think, if I'm interpreting their comment, that there may be a point at which ICANN may not be able to scale. I think they threw out a 10,000 number. So I think if there's a comment I can kind of glean as a clarifying question, it's maybe a question back to the ICANN organization to say, right, you know, you do say that you can pretty much scale to anything. Do you really need anything, or is there some sort of overall limit? Is kind of the way I'm interpreting. So I don't interpret that as a disagreement with ICANN's ability to scale, but I think the BC is probably pointing out that there may be, at least in their mind, a point at which or above which they may not actually So we can go back to I can't work with a question on that. Let's see. Looking at the comments. Okay. Looking at the registrars next. The registrars state that they don't believe that ICANN as structured currently can affect, can efficiently handle a new application round, either a careful design along with maybe a restructuring of ICANN staff appears to be necessary. Then once restructured, would remain open all the time. And so I'm looking at the four on this list. I'm not seeing anyone from the registrars. I am somewhat familiar with the registrar comments, and I do know that within the registrar, a stakeholder group, when they were putting these comments together, they were making a reference to the fact that there no longer is a group focused on, quote, new GTLDs within ICANN, and that group of people have been reassigned to different areas. And so one of the things that fed that comment was the fact that there is no separate group. Perhaps relaying that to ICANN org and maybe asking them of, you know, what, I'm trying to think of the best way to ask that question of ICANN org, but it's essentially, it's more of an implementation question of, you know, ICANN org is saying it can, and I guess it's just reaffirming with ICANN org that it will structure itself, it may structure itself a little bit differently when the application process starts. I'm trying to figure out an effective way to ask ICANN that, but I'm not sure that covers it. Any thoughts from anyone else in the group? Steve Chan is typing. Oh, wait a second.
Hey, Jeff, this is Steve. I'll speak if you don't mind. It might be faster.
Much better. Thanks.
Thanks. I was just going to say that I think ICANN.org has consistently said something to the effect that they need, I guess, a closer to final set of recommendations from this group to be able to really do a fulsome assessment of their operational ability to scale. So I think if we were asked to ask them that question now, they'd probably come back with something similar that they need closer to final recommendations before they're able to give us a realistic estimate. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Steve. That does make sense, and that's why I was kind of grappling with how to even ask that question at this point. We can note it as a concern, and after I said it and after you kind of responded, I was kind of left sort of the same thing of it's like a chicken and egg problem, and until you have the ICANN org, I don't think it could be any more specific other than a commitment to meet whatever the demands are. Michael, you had your hand raised, but you dropped it. Is that, I just want to make sure it's not my Adobe that's acting up. Okay, Michael, please.
We're not hearing you, Michael. Can you adjust your microphone and check?
Sorry, hardware mic switch. Can you hear me now?
Yes, indeed. Over you go.
Okay, I was looking at this, and I'm sort of seeing this as another round of confusion with the term IRT, because it talks both about an IRT being created and a standing IRT. And it doesn't clarify. So I suspect this comment, once we determine, create that infographic and finalize the term for the standing panel, I think we should re-ask this question of the registry stakeholder group. I also would think that would be true for some of the other comments here, but I'll get to those when we get to them.
Sorry, Michael, this is Jeff. I'm just trying to follow. I was reading was from the registrars, and I don't see any mention there of an implementation group. Are you maybe looking at a different comment?
What line are you looking at, Michael, in the document? Give us a line. Is it line 18?
I'm at line 18.
Okay.
Line 18 on page 222. Am I in the
and
wrong place?
You are, and I'm looking there too. Where is it talking about standing panels?
So Michael, we're in the tab number 2.2.2.2, so 14. We're on line 18, but we're in that tab. You might be on a different tab.
I'm on the wrong tab. I retract my comments.
That helps solve a lot of the confusion in this call. Thanks, Michael, because I was really going to wonder whether you were just going to have this sort of dog on a bone attitude on one comment from your constituency, and it relieves me that that isn't the case, because I was getting concerned about one group trying to make overarching priority over the other group comments that we've received. I already was typing to staff my deep concern, so you'll save me as co-chair making a complaint and having this discussion, which would be a very serious one, I can assure you, with the rest of the leadership team. I'm greatly relieved to have you on the right tab now.
Thanks, Cheryl. Let me jump to the next comment, which was from the AWAC, which ALAC has suggested that ICANN should conduct a study on scalability. ALAC believes that ICANN org needs to conduct a study regarding its scalability to handle the likely higher influx of applications for new GTLDs. We'll note that comment. I think with ICANN organization affirmatively stating that it can scale, I think with the root scaling studies and things that we have there and the results, I'm not sure that at this point, other than noting this comment, I'm not sure that we need to pass anything through to the ICANN org, but let me ask, sorry, Cheryl, I think you're the only one on the call, if I'm not mistaken, from the AWAC. Am I missing something here?
Not wishing to speak on behalf of ALAC, but again, I notice this is not a concern. It is more a modification, a suggestion, an additional idea. And I think, you know, we've got a parking lot for additional ideas, and that's exactly where this, along with many others, should go.
Thanks, Cheryl. Actually, that's a better way of stating it, so thank you for that. Cool. All right, let's go on to comment on line 20, brand registry group. This was support for ICANN org to handle application volume if smaller distinct application rounds were opened. So this is a new idea. It's not disagreeing necessarily that ICANN couldn't handle the scale, but it basically talked about a couple things. One is that clearer instructions for the applicant with improved streamlined processes could help ICANN org scale up. I think that's in line with that. Then it says if smaller distinct application rounds were opened for specific categories in parallel to ongoing policy work, this would alleviate the pressure of a single open round in 2 to 3 years' time and help create a manageable. So I'm going to take this comment and I'm going to push it into the 2.2.3 and potentially 2.2.4, because it's really talking about creating a category and really I'm going to keep it in 2.2.4 instead of 2.2.3. But in 2.2.4, it's talking about categories and the different rights and obligations and other things that would apply if we were to create different types of categories and how to treat different ones. although there is a comment that it says that this would help scale, and so then that way it does relate to scalability. I think it's really dependent on whether this group makes a decision on whether to treat brands in this respect differently as opposed to making an affirmative suggestion, saying the only way that I can to be able to scale is by doing this. Let me look at the group here and see if I'm misjudging that, but the way I read it and read it a couple times, it seems to be in line with that. So agrees. Any disagreement with that? Okay. Next comment is from the registry stakeholder group. So the registry stakeholder group believes that there are certain modifications that could improve the scalability. So this again is, in some respects, it's a new idea. In some respects, it's actually supporting some of the recommendations that are in. So the registry believes that an RFP pre-approval program will help with scalability. And what I would really put that in is just support for the applicant's RFP pre-approval program. And I guess one of the benefits of their support of that is that it would help with scalability. The minor tweaks to technical evaluation, again, this is not necessarily, it's not really a new idea, because what they're saying is that if we take the suggestions that they make to the technical evaluation, that will help with scalability. In fact, I think all five of these, if I'm counting them, aren't really, they're not new ideas. I think what the registry stakeholder group is saying is that if we take some of the changes that are already recommended by the initial report and others that may be registry recommendations later on here, that they believe that all of those taken together will help with scalability. So I'm actually going to recommend, and please, those from the registry stakeholder group, if I'm misreading it, but I'm going to actually put this out in green, as opposed to in blue, saying that they are agreement that ICANN has the ability to scale with a sort of maybe in the brown. I guess it's not really a concern. Trying to figure out the best way to scale, but instead, as opposed to any concerns or new ideas. But Christine is typing. So let me just...
You've got Jim's hand up as well.
Ah, thank you, definitely. Thank you. My Adobe's been incredibly slow, and I see Jim and then I see Christine. So Jim first and Christine.
Yeah, thanks, everybody. Apologies for being late. Just had a conflicting call. Jeff, I think in this shorthand version here, I think it's fine to make the change you're suggesting, but... as you dive into the details of what some of these bullet points entail, particularly adjustments to the system testing, pre-approval of registry services, and the overhaul financial evaluation, there may be some new ideas in there. So I didn't hold the pen on this particular section. So, but I think there's this is shorthand for a big basket of issues and concerns and ideas on how to improve this part. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. Christine, please.
Thanks. This is Christine Doreen, Amazon Registry. So this section is a shorthand list of the various other comments we've made throughout, which may or may not relate to this subgroup A. It may relate across subgroup B or subgroup C as well. But these were five comments that the registry stakeholder group made that we just felt like we didn't want to reiterate here. We wanted to direct the working group to know that we have actually made comments that would improve scalability. But overall, this is an agreement concept. The registry stakeholder group, at least those of us doing the drafting, did believe, as Jim pointed out, that we generally think ICANN can scale. But also, please see the rest of our comments. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks, Christine. And I think as we talk about, and Tim as well, as we, and by we I mean the entire group or whatever subgroup it's related to, as we talk about those areas, one of the benefits you should hopefully remember, all of us hopefully can remember, is for those different recommendations is, oh, and by the way, the registry is this way, we think that'll help with scalability. I don't know how we can jot that down, and we can try to make a note for ourselves in here. And but if everyone can kind of remember to do that when we get specifics, that one of the benefits, as you've noted in this 2.2.2.2.E.1, is that adoption of those will help with scalability. Okay. Just going through the chat, and if I'm missing any in the chat, let me know because mine's slow. Michael has said, may I make a recommendation for comments we've covered as a group, we background color them or make them visually distinct. It should help prevent ending up on the wrong tab. All right, we'll see if we can maybe do kind of a marker of at least where we left off or something to help us. And Phil is agreeing with or agrees with Jim's comment about revamping the function. Cheryl is, the new idea parking lot is becoming very crowded. not that I'm complaining, we're for driving continuous improvement to process activities. Cheryl, I don't think that's a comment for what I said. It's not a new idea.
It was a comment on the points Christine was making regarding the desirability of having the new ideas reiterated with the relevance of scalability. And I was saying, well, that's more for the parking lot, and that's a great thing. And then I'm going to take the metaphor even further because I like Robin's concept of public transport, and I now have a mental image of a continuous improvement train, which makes me even happier. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks. And again, I don't know if it's because my Adobe's behind. The last comment I see is from Michael saying, oh, now I see what Christine saying, happy I'm here for the invention. Okay, never mind. Am I missing it other than the public transportation continuous other comments that I might be missing? Okay. If you're seeing any, and again, I apologize for my slow catching up with the comments. So then there's kind of 2.2.2 in the clarity of application process where we had some comments that were received we thought fit within this kind of section but not necessarily within a specific subcategory of this one. And so the first one is from, or maybe there's only one going back and forth. There's a bunch of comments on here from Christopher Wilkinson related to transparency concerns. Concerns were the lack of readily accessible information. I'm assuming that's from the last round. That's from lack of information from the staff on the fees and costs. There's, according to Christopher, not sufficiently coherent interpretation of the selection criteria. There's a lack of, or the professional background of panelists, their affiliation, transparency concerns from Christopher, and then the new ideas, which I don't think necessarily all of them are new, but some of them are. There's discussion in there about a clear and concise, precise time frame, so I think that's not really a new idea. That's an expression of what I think a number of people support. Number two is providing interested parties with an estimation of fees and costs, which I think also is kind of a minor to transparency, more transparency about the qualifications of evaluators, panelists, ensuring that procedures, requirements, and scoring rules are precise. I don't think any of these are really new, even though they're all in the blue at this point. I'm just trying to skim through to see if there's something really truly new. Gap advice being clear and clearly explain the rationale, which is actually in the bylaws as well. Is there anyone that anyone's seen in here that's really new? There's a concern that Christopher has of basically saying that this section and a lot of sections rely on the notion of everything being all application types being treated equally, and I don't think that's and so what Christopher's saying is that that may not be a fair assumption. Anyone have any questions or thoughts on Christopher's comments? Okay, not seeing any, although let me just give another second in case my Novi is slow. Okay, I see that Jamie is now on audio only, so welcome, Jamie. Can I ask for the record, Jamie?
Yes, I'm here, Jeff.
Ah, okay, Jamie Baxter. Thank you, Jamie. Great. I recognize the voice. Okay, so it's Jamie Baxter. Thank you. Great, welcome. Okay, we are now on 2.2.3, and I forgot what Robin and I decided as to which one. I'm happy to continue, but I don't know if, Robin, you had your heart on it, and I'm trying to remember what we decided.
I don't think we did decide.
Okay.
I'm not sure.
Well, I'll tell you what. I will start it on this call, and then you could pick it up and then go with different TLD types for the next season. How about that?
Sounds good.
Okay. All right. Applications assessed in round, which is this area generated a comment, so let's start going through it. The first part of it was we'll go over the general comments, which there was from the AMA. General opposition to doing serve right away. I really think it's actually agreement, because I believe the initial report had that in there as well, that the group had recommended not starting with the first come first serve. Now this one might go a little bit deeper when you read the comment as far as using first come first serve later on. But at least with not doing first come first serve initially, I believe that is agreement with what the initial report has in it. So I'd like to put part of that in green, at least, with the initial report recommendation. Does anyone oppose that? Again, we'll read the rest of the comments, but I believe the initial report did recommend in the very first part of it not being first come, first served. Jim, please.
Hey, Jeff. I don't know, and I'm looking towards Cheryl or anybody else from ALAC on the call, but I think you've got to read the comments as a whole instead of splitting it apart, because it, to me it reads as though they still have a concern in the rounds, within a round, which, you know, presumably would be the next opening, about a first-come, first-serve approach in there. Maybe I'm misreading it, but that's how I viewed it.
Jim, Cheryl here. That resonates with what I heard the ALAC coming to consensus on during their review process. But if we are in any doubt, we can always ask their lowercase l liaison to clarify it with them. The policy group meets weekly, so it's not going to be much of a delay to get a response from them.
Yeah, thanks, Jim, and thanks, Cheryl. So should we definitely follow up with them? I'd like to follow up with them on is, because at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is trying to make a recommendation right for the full group. So we'll read this whole comment. I think you're right, Jim, in the fact that, but I'm trying to pull out elements and pull it apart as well to see what parts of the section it agrees with the initial report and what part it doesn't. So let's go over the full comment. The full comment says that regardless of whether we do things in a round or on a first-come, first-served basis, applications must continue to be batched. And to allow for not only fair competition in stream selection, but also to facilitate a manageable review by various stakeholders. And then it lists the stakeholders and different types of, the stakeholders and different types of processes, whether it's early warning, suggestions, et cetera, and also for resolution procedures and CPE and things like that. In any case, ELAC strongly advocates against the immediate commencement of a permanent first-come, first-served basis. The way I would interpret this is, if I could pull it apart into different subparts. Number one, no first-come, first-served right away, which is in agreement with the initial report, because that's what the initial report said. Number two is when the initial report is talking about options, they're making the assertion that the next round after that or whatever happens after that, they still would have come first serve ever being used because of these factors that they mentioned. And so I think that second part is where so this is an interesting one. Let me throw this out to the group. So the initial report put forth options, but didn't really. It said for the first or the next quote application window, it should be in a round. And I think so that's what the initial report said. And it said for the next application window, there are options. And so it's that second part where it is the ALAC selecting one of those options, not necessarily as a concern, but it is selecting option or not option, whatever number that was. So maybe it's just me going, it's us going back to the leadership team and just re-color coding it to say that it's agreement with the first part of the initial report, which says that the first one should be around, and then the ALAC would select not option, whatever was associated with first come, first serve. Then let's take that and we'll pass that on as a question. There's also a comment, and then I'll come to Steve as to why the ALAC has two comments. I think the answer to that, Michael, Steve, you can jump in, and you're going to jump in anyway, is because these didn't, what we did is we pulled out general comments from ALAC and from others, but it just happens to be ALAC in this example, where it didn't neatly fall within one of the subcategories, so there were comments in this part that didn't neatly fit into one of the sub-questions, so we pulled it out in general. So that's why there's two comments. Steve, please.
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve Chan from staff. So actually, I think you mostly have that right. So the ALAC comments here were made, they were actually indeed general comments made to this section, to 2.2.3. So I think the way that it was phrased is that it's applied to the entire section. And so at that point they were grouped as either general or other comments. But I think you know, the point you're making is that a lot of these comments in here, or I guess a lot of the subsections and parts of the comment, actually apply to the questions or recommendations that the working group made. So in that regard, what I think we could probably do is just copy and apply the relevant or the comment to the relevant section. So for instance, line one could probably go towards preliminary recommendation one, and then highlight the part that's actually already highlighted, that the ALAC strongly advocates against the immediate commencement of a permanent first-come, first-serve process. So I guess that would be the staff suggestion, is that rather than recolor coding this, we just probably apply the comment to the relevant sections of this section. I didn't mean to use section twice, but hopefully that makes sense. Thanks.
Yeah, thanks. That does make sense. Yeah, let me ask, I don't know if Cheryl's back yet. I know Cheryl had to step away, and I don't see anyone else from the ALAC. Cheryl, are you back yet?
I've never not been with you. It's just I'm only on audio. Just for a little while. I'll be back at the computer shortly. But yes, what did you want me to ask? What did you want to ask me?
So I think to Steve's recommendation, we initially labeled some of the ALAC comments, because they were in the general section, as expressing concerns. But when we take a look at least at this first one, we actually think we should put it in with the section of the report that actually discussed that part and appropriately.
Yeah, what
that section.
I heard Steve say was replicate that into the other sections it applies to. It was an overarching and general comment. Obviously, you can also double check that with Justine Chu, who's officially now the lowercase l liaison from the ALAC and at large for this. So. But that certainly seems more than reasonable to me.
Great, thanks. So again, so we will replicate these comments into the particular section. To the extent that we keep any of this also in the general section, I'm going to ask that the color coding be removed, because I don't think there are concerns with the initial report recommendations. They may be concerns in general, but they're not concerns about the initial report recommendations. Hope that makes sense.
Cheryl here. Just an opportune moment to bring up something that I was going to bring up in the leadership team synchronization call anyway. Saves me doing that. We had in last week's sessions of calls, and it was call B, we had the Council of Europe make an intervention, and they were deeply concerned that their quite general overarching comments weren't replicated into a section that they thought it had relevance to. And we did point out that they were they were about transparency and accountability. And we pointed out that they really belonged in overarching or overall concerns or overall overarching comments, and that therefore we'd bring it to leave it in our general section in B, but also bring it to the attention of Group A, where we thought these overarching things would also be highlighted. So if we can just have an AI for staff to, while they're replicating things, also grab the missive from the Council of Europe and make sure it slots in, even if it's got its own tab. Since we made that commitment to bring it up to this group, I'll bring it up now. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Cheryl. So you're talking about in the general tab in front of, so in front of 2.2.2.
That is correct.
One or whatever it's called.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Yes, we're in the tab that you initially worked with, but because it is overarching, it needs to be replicated there. A valid point made, and it's an action item we need to follow through on. That's all. Thank you. One you didn't know about, so I figured I should probably share.
Okay. Yep. And thank you for pointing that out. So we will we'll note that as you said AI, and for the record, that means action item for anyone that didn't get that. So we will do that. Okay. The next comment is also a general comment from the I'm going to just go back to my Google Doc. Okay. So the next comment was...
It's Ann. I'm just on the phone, but could I just ask a question about Cheryl's comment there?
Sure. With the slight caution of not wanting to get into substance, but please do ask the question.
No, I'm not. No, that was exactly my question. Was the comment just to the effect that Council of Europe wanted to make sure that its comment showed up in both places? Was it merely a procedural comment then, or what? I wasn't real
sorry,
clear
Ann,
on this.
I'll stop talking in shorthand then, because I didn't want to take the valuable time of today's committee, and I'll give you a slightly longer version. Council of Europe's concern was that their overarching comments on transparency and accountability were not being replicated where they felt relevant in a number of places in Group B, right? It wasn't relevant other than in an overarching way, right? It was an overarching comment, and the overarching or general comments were handled not in Group B, which is where this conversation happened, but rather in Group A. I undertook, as one of the PDP overall co-chairs, to say thank you for highlighting your concern that your comments aren't being recognised or resonating in all the right places, and that we will make sure Group A understands that they have an additional overarching or general comment, in other words, your first tab that you've all dealt with in Group A, where it also belongs. Is that okay?
It's
a process AI, but it's one that has to have the loop closed on it.
Okay, thanks. Thank you. I just wasn't clear. Thanks very much, Cheryl.
No problem. It was me probably not being clear, seeing as I'm doing other things right now. Thanks.
Okay, thanks, and Cheryl. This next one, too, I'm not sure I'm going to go through and read word for word because again, I'm not sure it should really be labeled as concern to the initial. Generally, when we label something as concern, it's not concerns in general with the program. It's concerns about what the initial report has recommended. This is an overarching comment on basically saying, regardless of whether you do rounds, first come, first serve, or anything else, they want to see all of these things. And these things, that list, really relates to a number of different sections that probably each belong, and I'm sure they're in there anyway, but we can double check, in the specific section that deals with it. So like the first one is on the guidebook being accurately reflecting everything. The second one, and I'm talking very much shorthand, I know. The second one is, to make sure that there's a mechanism for course corrections. The third one is that prioritization for community TLDs. So each of these are substantive recommendations that aren't really related to the concept of rounds at all, but are basically saying, look, whatever we do, however we introduce applications or review them or whatever, they just want to overall make sure that these issues are addressed, and so we will take it as an action item to make sure that these items are all addressed in the substantive sections, which I'm sure that we've already done that, but we will double check. So again, we're not ignoring these comments by any means, but they don't really relate to assessing things in rounds. Any thoughts or comments? Okay, so that will take us to the comment from, I'm scrolling too quick, ICANN.org, which basically states that It'll be helpful to understand how the PDP Working Group envisions the bylaws, mandated competition, consumer trust, and choice review fits in with these questions. So at this point, I think, but for some reason it's numbered 4. The previous one was number 2. Sorry about that. I think this is just a statement. I understand there's sort of a question here, but I think we address consumer choice, competition, and trust in a different area. Steve, do you think I'm misreading that at all? I think it's just...
Thanks, Jeff. This is Steve. So I think I'm not entirely sure what they're referencing, so it might actually be worth asking them which part of the CCTRT report and or recommendations they're referring to that would apply to this section. And I just honestly can't think off the top of my head where that connection is precisely. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks, Steve. Let's ask that question. Okay. Let's then move on to, sitting at time. It's a fairly big section, but I think we can do it. I have faith. Okay, 2.2.3.C.1, starting on line 7, is it basically is where we set foundation that the next introduction be in the form of a round, and then with subsequent introduction, although the working group did not have any consensus on any proposal, if you remember, the initial report stated that whatever method is chosen, that the method is known prior to the launch of the next round or next application window, either what's said in the guidebook is either a date certain that the next introduction will take place, or B, a set of criteria that must occur as a contingency, I guess, before the opening of the next application window. So just to provide an example, but not, this wasn't a recommendation, but it's just an illustration. Let's say that the next round launched, the guidebook could contain something like the subsequent introduction, so not the next round, but would occur either on January 1st, 2023, or it could say something like 9 months following the date the application from the last round has completed initial evaluation. Again, that was just an illustrative example. I ask everyone not to focus on the substance of that recommendation, but really just an illustration. So with that, the business constituency supported their preliminary recommendation of the initial report and also supported the notion of continuing in the future with rounds. The Fairwinds partners supported the business constituency also said that would help for underserved countries. That's an important part of their comments. The Fairwinds partners supported the certain date or set of criteria approach. I don't think it opted for which one of the two, but it said either one would be they would agree with, and they want to emphasize the importance of clarifying the parameters before the next round actually begins. The next comment comes from Valadeus, who rounds on an ongoing basis with a defined criteria as opposed to a date certain. That provides a more workable means for the community to monitor applications. So it's not just better for applicants, but also for the community. Comments, disputes, objections, et cetera. And they also agree that prior to the launch, this should be made clear just so others know that there's some sort of predictability as to when the next application window will be. Comments from the registries are also kind of in line with that. agrees with the set of criteria or date certain, but does also have a concept in there which is new in the sense it wasn't in the recommendation, but they think it also needs to be volume-based. So in the ideal world, they'd like to see a set schedule, but they recognize that if there's an extraordinary amount of volume in that first window, then there may need to be some process to be able to extend the time period before which it would start subsequent round. And they provide an example. So, for example, a guidebook could say that it will start in Q1 of the following year unless there's more than 10,000 applications, and in such event, the subsequent round will begin in Q1 of the second year following the then current round. Any questions on those? Okay. I know I'm going a little bit quick, but these are mostly in agreement. ICANN.org has a concern, or is listed right now as concerns. It's basically a feedback on certain options. They want to have a predictable process, and so a time window would allow ICANN.org to better plan, so they like the time window, and also would provide applicants with more certainty. However, if the aim is to eventually get an ongoing process, using the criteria or event, like a completion of 50% of the applications could allow the program to accomplish it. And so it's conceivable that if the volume decreases over time, then in theory, you could shorten up the time between rounds or even go to an ongoing application process. That's the essence of the ICANN.org. Again, I'm not sure it's necessarily appropriate label with concerns. I think it's more of, I'm just trying to go through this again, and then we'll probably stop after here. I'm not sure it's concerns with the initial evaluation report. I think it's more a support of the criteria-based approach or the date approach, but points out that if a criteria-based approach is used, then that might be better from a perspective of having an ongoing predictable process. Steve or anyone, do you agree or disagree with the way I've kind of interpreted that?
Hi, Jeff. This is Steve. Well, this is just a general comment about the ICANN.org ones, and I think we've said this a few times that the way that the assessment tool for public comments is configured, it's not always fit for purpose, I guess is a way to put it. So in that regard, we've labeled most of the ICANN.org comments as concerns. It's really more like feedback and additional considerations for deliberations. But I get your point that maybe the categorization isn't quite right, but we weren't really sure which is a better one. So this just seemed to fit the most appropriately. Thanks.
We almost need another color for, Cheryl, for the record, proposed modifications or, points to consider. Agreement, but points to consider sort of thing. But we can look at that, but not right now.
Okay, and if people could indulge me, this is a good place to stop. Otherwise, I skipped the BRG comment. So, if I could ask Steve to or Emily to reverse the comments to make sure that we cover the BRG, you could put the ICANN one above the BRG, just so we can make sure that we don't forget the BRG one to start with on the next call. That would be helpful. So again, thank you everyone for coming. I know that initially we started out with it was a close call to whether we'd make quorum, but I think we got through a bunch of materials, and I look forward to talking to everyone next week. Any last comments or any other business that we should cover?
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks, all.
All right,
thanks, everyone. Bye.
Next call Thursday, December 20th at 1500 UTC. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone, for joining. Today's meeting is adjourned. You can disconnect your lines and have a good rest of your day.